Recorded in Seattle, Washington. It's an earful in the Emerald City.
Hold on to your butt.
Where local and national gossip is twisted with comedy. Starring Shoddy and Slim. Two typical guys who hold nothing back.
What the hell is so great about that?
To make your jaw sore.
Oh, that's nasty.
Get your mind out of the gutter and give it up for Shoddy and Slim.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to an earful in the Mickey Feeky Emerald City. If you like the Kardashians, this show is probably not for you.
Not for you.
No. I am Shoddy, and right beside me is my tag team partner, Slim. What up, motherfucker?
Dude, I'm just maxing and relaxing.
Maxing
over
and
here.
Relaxing.
Just letting yes, you do are. Your thing.
Yes. And on this episode, we're going to talk about how Ben Carson made himself look like a dumbass, Donald Trump's hot mic, and how the Keisha situation pisses me the fuck off, and how there's a double standard in the entertainment industry. But first, you know how we've been kicking off the show the last few weeks.
Is it that time?
Oh, yes, it's that time. It is the Weekend Rewind. And the sound effects were done by Slim.
Slim Pickens over here. I'll work on it.
Yes. Slim, you went to Portland this weekend.
Oh, man. I crossed.
For our bachelor party weekend.
I crossed what it seemed like were international borders. We went down to good old Portlandia, the old PDX, for a little bachelor party fun. We're in kind of a weird spot up here in Seattle. You know, you got two ways you can play it. You can head down south a lot of times, or you can head up north. Either way, you're in search of naked women. So, luckily they have them in both directions. It's just kind of what they're into and the rates and, how frequent they are and those kind of things. But yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. A little drunken debauchery. The bachelor party, it's just like, if at this point now, with the age my friends are getting, a lot of these guys are locked down already, and this is like the one time where everybody is just letting loose and just going for it as hard as they can throughout one weekend. Okay, these guys are getting old now, they can't do this all the time, but you give them the right occasion and they're gonna give it all they got, like it's a goddamn Olympics. All right, and they're going for the 9th gold medal here. It's insane. They just, anything you can think of, just drinking all day. You know, you got guys who are 5-6 drinks deep at the breakfast, you know, at the early breakfast.
That's what I'm talking about, man.
Yeah,
take the day off with some screwdrivers?
Oh, man. Anything you could think of, man. One guy bought a glass of wine for somebody, and they had to drink it. Like a glass of red wine with breakfast. I mean, you should have seen the sweater he was wearing. He was kind of asking for it to a certain extent. But, yeah, just anything you can think of, man. It's all on the table at this point, you know? It's in you got the all the strip clubs down there. I mean, there's no strip club industry up here because they're just completely overregulated, and you can't have any fun. You can't drink any booze.
What?
So
wait, time out. I've never been to any of the strip clubs here.
Oh my god,
Seattle.
You didn't know
what?
Oh, you
can't
notice.
Drink booze at a strip club.
Oh man, yeah, you're not a strip club fan, then you would have.
No. Yeah. I'm sorry, but strip clubs don't do anything for me.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of.
Even if I was single,
those places are built on broken dreams. You know.
Oh my god! Well, all strip clubs are.
Yeah. Oh god! And we went to this place on Saturday night. This is supposed to be the spot of all spots here. Okay, they call this place El Diablo. All right, they have a picture of old Lucifer hanging up right above the bar. A little self-portrait of his, and I got to tell you, a lot of these girls had some definite demons inside of them. All right, no question about it, because they were getting all kinds of crazy. They, oh my God, dude, I didn't even realize it took me. It took me till we were there for an hour to see what was going on. They had these two girls. They were paired up. All right. These girls were paired up and they were raking in the dough because they were getting a little crazy down there. You know, they're doing a little inspecting. And you know, I saw it from behind. I was kind of bobbing around. I wasn't making a seat anywhere. I was just kind of talking to everybody and passing around. And every time I'd missed it, I'd seen it from the back. Oh, by the end of the night, I got a good little shot of the action there. And the, I tell you, these girls were making it rain. And they were making it rain because they were pulling out all of the stops. That place was grimy, but...
grimy. That's a gritty way to put it.
It was incredibly gritty in some of the worst spots in there, but... When my buddy, who's a bachelor, got a drink spilled all over him, the girl's coming over the rail, you know, putting the vagine right up in there, you know, pow, right in the kisser, basically, and she got a little too acrobatic, knocked down a drink, and that kind of killed his mood a little bit. But you know, the way I look at it, that girl took a risk, you know?
Yeah.
She took a risk, and that could have paid off huge for her.
Your friend had every right to be pissed off because the drink is more important than her.
That's true. Those drinks were not cheap, that's for sure.
Oh, fuck. No, they're not cheap at a strip club.
Yeah.
I've only been to a strip club like maybe two times in my lifetime and had two drinks. My tap was $20.
There you
20
go.
20 fucking bucks.
Wow. Yeah, they were happy to see you leave. Holy shit. Yeah, that's tough to do, man. It's funny you say that. I've gone to a strip club down in Texas. I was working in San Antonio for a little while. I went to one down there and didn't get robbed by the stripper. Got robbed by the bartender, who ended up charging me for 10 drinks in about a 2.5 hour period. Because I was ordering the special, the nightly special, the whole time, and obviously not getting any lap dances because I was broke at the time, and their lap dances are a little silly if you ask me, but this guy charged me for 10 drinks. I was like, dude, I wouldn't even be walking out of here if I had 10 drinks. He's like, sorry, bro. Sorry, that's just the way it is. Okay, that's just the way it is. And then I ended up leaving there, and he ended up writing in a fat ass tip on my credit card thing too. So,
wow.
So he got me for a couple extra drinks initially, and then he got me on the credit card. I called back like, oh yeah, you know, just give. You know, some guy, name's probably Tony Tightlips. I mean, who knows?
Tony Tightlips?
Yeah, just, you know, give it a day or two and see what that'll go away. Don't worry. They run the card. They want to be safe, okay? They want to be safe. They want to know who you're dealing with. Just don't worry. Give it a few days, all right? And then it'll be fine. Don't worry. Listen, we got to run. Thanks. Hey, thanks for coming by. We appreciate it. All right. Goodbye. That's all you get, man. Just one criminal after another in the chain of command at these places. It's ridiculous. The strippers rob you. The bartenders rob you. The fucking owners rob you. I mean, everybody gets you, you know? Everybody gets you. But I guess sometimes you got to just get that relief, you know, and get...
No, get the relief is not worth it sometimes.
Dude, and the thing is, the crazy thing is... People that went the craziest, in my opinion, seem to be the ones that have been in like the longest term relationships. They've got the most going on. They've been with their woman for this and that. And the look in their eyes, I swear some of them have lost parts of their soul. I don't know what parts, but there's small parts of their soul that are missing. I could tell when they were walking out of the private dance area, just the look on their face. It told the story, but no, it was great though. It was great. A lot of you know, just guy stuff. Okay, just doing guy stuff. All right, drinking beers, looking at boobs, all kinds of good stuff. All right, and we sent him off proper, so it was a good time. But we
good for you.
Yeah, we picked a little bit too nice of a hotel though. We should have got a little.
Oh God.
Should have gone a little grimier on the hotel, you know.
Right. Oh no, no. The last thing you want to go grimy on is hotels.
you know, as long as there's not bed bugs, man. I mean, it just, when these guys are going this nuts.
No, man, I'm talking about there are women there. There are women at grimy hotels that will rent out their rooms for you know what.
Why didn't we run any of these girls?
Motherfucker.
I didn't see any of them. Jesus. I mean, we weren't looking or nothing.
Walking around scratching your balls looking. It was, the next 2 weeks.
It was raining. It was raining. I couldn't really see what was going on. But.
Yeah.
No, that was fun though, man. I hope somebody goes for across the border though, the northern border there soon for my friends, because it's just a completely different feel, you know. I mean, Portland's different too. A lot of hipsters, all those good kids down there. But oh my God, we were walking around the city, dude. I couldn't believe I saw this, and there was a line going like down like two city blocks.
What? Yeah.
Going down two city blocks. I was like, what the heck is going on there? Like, the only time I've seen a line like that, it's for the Anne Frank Museum, you know? I mean, I was like, what is going on here? So we went and we were going to walk right by. I don't see lines like that. I was like, is this Voodoo Donut? What the hell's going on here? So we walk by, and it's in this small corner shop, and all the windows are glass so we can see in. The line is people waiting to look through vintage and secondhand clothes. Boxes of clothes that people have donated, and they're waiting in line to look through them. They're waiting to get their hands on secondhand clothes in a line. This is how high demand these clothes are.
What kind of people were they?
You know the types, man. You know the types. The piercings everywhere, you know, half the heads.
Why are you judging them, man?
Half the heads shaved. There's nothing
wrong with used clothes, even though I wouldn't buy them.
I have no problem with used clothes. But you know what? If I'm going to buy clothes that have already been used, I'm going to buy them right when I want to fucking buy them, okay? I'm not going to wait in line. I'm going to buy those clothes right when I want to buy them.
Yeah.
I'm not going to wait for used shit. Come on. You guys are ridiculous, all right? If you're the 60th person in line, you're going to get shit anyway. You're going to get complete shit. There's going to be nothing good. I mean, what are you're trying way too hard, bro. You're trying way too hard. All right. You're not that cool. I'm sorry. You're not that cool. You just, you know, just accept it. And we all get older and it happens. I'm glad I don't
see. What about if it was like a John Cena shirt?
if he wore it at some point, you know, or autographed it. It may be, but I mean, come
what about
on.
If it's like Seattle Supersonics? I would wait in line for that.
Yeah, but I don't think that's going to be available, Mo. By the time that 60th guy, I'm telling you, this line was almost like two blocks long. It was insane. It was insane, dude. I'm glad I don't see things around here like that. You know, you don't just
get, no, you just haven't ran into it yet.
maybe.
No, this is Seattle, so.
Yeah, that's true. It's a pretty familiar brand, but yeah, next time hopefully it's that northern border. We'll see. We got a couple opportunities here in the pipeline, so we'll see how that goes. What about you? Did you got a little crazy this weekend on the 80s party?
Yes, 80s party. It was a Purple Prince 80s party.
Oh,
the
God.
Theme was.
Oh God, I can already see all the glitter.
Motherfucker, I did not have glitter on me, but I did wear purple. I had a purple feather scarf. What are those things?
Raspberry beret.
Yeah, something like that. And I karaoke'd "Tainted Love" by Soft Cell.
Oh, you went for it this time for real.
Yes,
huh?
I went for it this time for real. I also karaoke'd "My Name Is" by Eminem and "96 Quite Bitter Beans" by CKY. Not a lot of people remember who CKY was. Now, CKY before Jackass. Sorry for that. Before Jackass, there was CKY. Can't Kill Yourself with Bam Margera, Ryan Dunn, and a lot of his other crazy friends, and they would do the stunts. They're the one that originated the shopping cart stunt that is infamous now. So, and then there was CKY the band, where Bam Margera's brother was the drummer, and they had this this song I used to be obsessed with growing up called 96 Quiet Bitter Beans. You should look it up. It's a pretty good workout song.
It's been a while, but I think I've heard that jam. Yeah, that's interesting, the two versions there. Oh, man, talk about the living the American dream. The CKY boys, all right? They just acting like tards, running around doing stupid ass shit.
That was our childhood.
They did. They just were the first ones to film it. They beat YouTube to it, and they fucking capitalized. God damn!
And they sold a lot of fucking tapes.
I mean, such a simple idea. Anybody could have done it. That's the thing. Is anybody could have pulled that shit off if they timed it right and they did it properly. And yeah, you
dude, I would love to get credit. Paid to beat up my dad.
I tell oh my god. Phil took some brutal beatings, dude. God, and you got to wonder what they were saying off screen. You know, was he pissed or did he understand? Like, okay, yeah, that's bullshit, but it's part of the show. I mean, oh yeah, he was such an asshole to him. It was terrible. His mom too, both of them, god. But you know, kudos to them. Although I wonder how are all those guys feeling these days now? They were doing that shit back in their early 20s.
Fuck,
they were
man.
Falling out of shopping carts, doing wild stuff like that, crashing golf carts, getting all kinds of crazy. I mean, how do they feel these days? It's got to be just
well, when they walk now, I'm pretty sure they hear clink, clink, clink in their knees.
God, they have to. I mean, Steve-O's been... He's been clean for a while, but so good he's not for doing him, he's man. Not doing that.
And
but.
He's he's dating a tattoo artist.
Oh yeah.
What Cat, you don't.
Oh, I think God, I don't remember. I don't remember last name, but I think I know who you're talking about.
Yes.
Wow, she's pretty fine, Dan.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, good for him. Hey, he's on the straight now. He was talking about on Joe Rogan about getting arrested for his stunt. He did the killer whale stunt where he climbed up the thing. And he was so high on drugs, he said, that halfway through it, it completely hit him how completely ridiculous his idea was and what he was doing. And sure enough, he ended up getting arrested. And that was like one of the two times he was actually thrown in jail. But it seems to have been a good career move for him, though, because he's been doing all right since. He's still banging himself up, though. He's like doing like a partial comedy routine where he's doing some stuff where he gets his ass kicked and, you know, hitting the nuts or whatever, I'm sure. And yeah, he's still lighting things on fire. I mean, the guy's still as crazy as ever. He's just finally he's doing these stunts not high out of his goddamn mind.
Yeah, which means it must have to hurt more.
Good for you, Steve-O. Keep it up, big guy.
Yeah.
We need you out there. We need guys like you. You're crazy enough to do anything. Keep this world going. Speaking of crazy and the king of crazy, do you hear about Mr. Trump on...
Oh, shit.
On the Morning Joe. God dang it. This one got leaked recently. This is just journalism at its finest here. Journalism at its finest. I mean, these
Break
two...
Break it down for me, Slim.
These two are just... Just basically telling this guy before they go on stage, they're going over what they're going to talk about, and he's essentially just verifying everything. So he's telling them nothing too difficult, you know, stay away from this one. Yeah, we can talk about that. I loved how you guys presented me last week. You made me look like a god. It was great. And it's just like, holy shit, like this is just some top level manipulative shit that's going on, you know? Like he's just the master of it on the highest level.
He's a fucking businessman.
I mean, they're telling him they're telling him basically they're going to serve him up softball questions. You know, they're going to take it nice and easy on him. He's making him feel bad. He's like, "Yeah, you said that one day that I wasn't going to win whatever, blah blah blah." He's like, "Well, the poll, you know, the poll said that you know, you were behind still a little bit. The poll said." And he's just completely caking him up, and he's basically already said how this interview is going to go. It's just crazy to me, and I don't know. You can't take them serious anymore. I mean, were we taking Trump serious?
I wasn't taking him seriously
before this. No, you definitely weren't.
I mean, people want to vote for a guy that can't handle tough situations. He won the South Carolina primary, which is fucking scary. it's scary that he's winning caucuses and primaries. This is someone that who people are voting to be the leader of this country. It's a scary thought. Like, do we really want this man to lead this country when he can't answer tough questions?
Yeah, well, and he dropped out of that debate. You know, it's like, dude, you don't get to pick and choose. Okay, you're the president. You're gonna have to do a ton of stuff that you don't want to do. All right, a ton of stuff as part of your job. You don't get to just pick and choose the little stuff that you want to do. Oh, I know, I don't like her. No, I don't appreciate her. And that's my biggest issue with him is him with the media. He has no respect for the media. If you don't like what he's got going on, then you're no friend of his, and he's going to look at you as an enemy. And it's completely, that's not good journalism. You know, everybody has their bias and everybody's got their little thing going on, but he's just playing it, the whole thing, to his favor and to nobody else's. And he's getting more airtime than anybody else. It seems like, I mean, he seems like he's the only one that's fit to handle it, you know, who knows what's going on with Hillary. They've talked about some health issues, and I mean, Bernie, you guys have seen him, you know, I still don't think he's combed his hair yet. So I don't know. It's
Bernie's a super saiyan. No, seriously. When Goku's hair went up, he saved the world. Mm-hmm. When Bernie's hair goes up, he saves the world.
You know,
it makes perfect sense.
That there has to be something to that, actually. Yeah, because, I mean, how else could somebody get away with it this long, you know? I mean, there has to be something to that. You're right. But, you know, I was looking at some of the numbers, though, after South Carolina, dude, and I think the burn is starting to die down.
No.
I think the burn is starting to die down, man.
Okay.
She's getting all the superdelegates, dude.
Okay, 8 years ago, Obama lost Nevada. Everyone needs to calm the fuck down and do what I'm going to do on Thursday, and that's phone bank. Phone bank and call these states and tell them to feel the motherfucking burn.
Feel the burn.
God. Phone bank. People, if you want, Bernie is still an underdog. If you want him to win, stop bitching about Hillary and phone bank. Go to Bernie Sanders' website. There are phone bank events in your area. There's a shitload here in the greater Seattle area, obviously, because we are pro Bernie. But I guarantee you there are phone banks events in your area. If there's not, start one.
Wow, that's powerful right there. Yeah, he's gonna need it though, man. I mean, she's getting all the superdelegates. She's getting all the superdelegates, and there's no choice over that. They do whatever they want. They're like Supreme Court judges, you know, nobody ever holds them accountable, and they just have the job forever. And she's getting all of them. They're the ones that matter too. You can make up any difference with that. And Bernie's not getting shit, man. He's already down like almost 300 or 400 delegates, I think. I mean, I don't know. We'll see. They got to go to 2,300, so she's still got a ways, but he needs to pull something big here. And God, it just seemed like the forces that be do not want that to happen. They do not want it. But, you know, the thing is with Trump, though, you want to know why I feel like this guy actually legitimately looks like he might make it happen here? I feel like this is just a pushback for how much of a PC nation we've all become, you know, about how you can't say anything bad about any group. You got to, you know, try to respect everybody and play nice. And, you know, you can't be honest all the time. You know, people get mad. You try to talk anything conservative on a campus these days, and everybody gets all upset with you. You know, and it's just, and it, overall, it's a good thing. I think it might go a little too far at times. But overall, everybody's nicer and everybody treats each other better in general because of it. But you're going to have some kind of pushback. And Trump is that guy, unfortunately. He's that guy that just says stupid-ass shit, does whatever he wants, thinks he can run it all and do his shit.
And stupid-ass people follow that.
And yeah, and he gains traction because he's coming in at the exact right time, you know? It's just, it's craziness, but Who knows, man? Who knows? It's not over, though. It's not over.
And I hope that America wakes up and tells himself, hey, this guy's a joke. He's a clown. He's not looking out for me. We need to vote for someone else.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. It's going to get better, I think, but it's got to turn quick, unfortunately. But it's not over, though. Who it is over for, and they haven't quite figured it out yet, is good old Ben Carson. Ben Carson, it's pretty much done here, and he hasn't come to the realization. I don't understand. I mean, this guy, he's throwing a Hail Mary. I told you earlier.
Yes,
he is. He's throwing a Hail Mary here. Okay, this is he's going for that knockout punch here, doing something big. He's more than desperate. He's almost in denial at this point, but yeah, he's going for it big, and he got you here, man. He got you all riled up.
Fuck yeah, he got me all pissed off and riled up. Oh my gosh. Now, as an African American, there's one thing I can't stand, and that's racism. Racism is stupid, is ignorant, has no place in the world. So, a political podcast was, they had Ben Carson on their show, and he basically said that Obama was raised white. And the reason he said that was because Obama was raised in Hawaii. He grew up on an island. Whereas to Ben Carson, he was raised in Detroit and Boston in poverty. And he was raised by a single mother. So what did Ben Carson pretty much say? He pretty much said that in order to connect with African Americans, you have to be raised in poverty. You got to be poor. You got to be raised by a single mother. You don't have to know who your father is. And that was bullshit. That struck a fucking nerve. One, that was just fucking ignorant to say. And two, the raised white part. There is no such thing as being raised fucking white. There isn't. White people are, there's white people that are in poverty. There's Hispanics in poverty. There are other ethnicities in poverty. That was fucking ignorant to say. And another reason that struck a nerve is because when I was growing up, I got called the Oreo. Black on the outside, white on the inside. You talk white. What? You listen to rock too? Were you raised by a white family? Pisses me off. I got fucking Slimo here grinning, trying to... I'm the old man. Oh man, I'm fired up right now, man.
I was smiling because I don't even get accused of listening to rock. You know, everybody knows me. I listen to hip hop, but I don't know. I guess that's kind of the way things have gone. And you know, you were living down in Texas, so you know.
Yeah, I got a lot of that shit growing up,
mm-hmm.
and it's crazy. And a lot had to do with I graduated in 2006, and I wasn't the only black kid in the class, but I was the only black kid that stood out to a lot of people. I was the only black kid that did athletics, did extracurricular activities, knew everyone. I didn't just hang out with a certain group of people. I knew everyone. I talked to everyone. I didn't judge people like a lot of other of my peers did growing up. And people took, I don't know if it was jealousy or just the fact that I was black and I was a threat to the other white kids, you know, I got a lot of shit, and you know, I talked to you about that off air, you know, you know, hey, you're an Oreo, oh my gosh, I remember when I was 13, preteens, I was 13, and a kid came up to me and asked me, why do you get so mad when someone calls you a nigger?
Should have been like, you know, I never really thought about it, actually. Now that you mentioned it.
No, I remember saying it's the equivalent of calling a Mexican a wetback. And like, oh, I get it now.
Yeah.
Just fucking.
Well,
I think the reason he asked that is because he hears the word nigga get thrown around a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if his parents didn't really teach him, hey, don't use this word, or he hears the word get used in a rap song, and he hears other people calling other people that, and when I got called that, I'm like, what the fuck?
That can be very impressionable to young country white folk, you know, those kinds of words and stuff. So, yeah, that could be. But to bring it back to where we started at...
fucking Ben Carson.
Carson,
man.
Here. You know, it's just... It's so condescending, like you said, to just assume that being poor and being raised in a bad situation and being underprivileged that's the black way to be raised. I mean, it's just so condescending. Like the fact that a black person would say that, it's crazy to me. Like why is it a competition to be the person who came from the worst situation? Why is it a competition, huh? Are you less of a person if your parents did decent for you, did okay, did the best they could, and raised you all right, and, you know, you gave you a shot at college, and you went and got a good job? Are you less of a person because you didn't come from extreme poverty? I mean, why is it... I don't understand why it's a competition to be from the worst situation possible. You know, like we're... It's like bragging rights these days. It's like the way that people are trying to connect with you. It's so condescending, the whole thing, to me. I don't understand it. And again, it was probably just a Hail Mary pass that he's going for, but I don't know. It's...
Yeah, that it wasn't an Aaron Rodgers Hail Mary, let me tell you that. Fuck.
That guy was killing him this year. Oh my God. Killing him, yeah. I mean, you know, he got us to talk about him, so I mean, I guess he kind of accomplished his goal a little bit. So yeah, give him a couple points there. Give him a couple points, but
no, I mean, he honestly thought that he could connect more with the African American community than Obama because the way that he was raised compared to how Obama was raised. And that struck a nerve, man. That struck a nerve. It does not matter whether an African American is born into poverty, has a little or middle class, or is just rich like the fucking Banks from the Fresh Prince of Bel Air. It does not matter, because people that are prejudiced, they don't care how you dress, they don't care how you speak. The color of your skin is all they're going to look at, and they're going to treat you unequal.
Yeah. Oh man, the Fresh Prince of Bel Air, dude. How dope is that set?
You remember that episode when Will and Carlton are pledging to that to I think it was a black fraternity, and one of the members,
very racy back then when this episode came out. But
you remember you know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah,
yeah, and one of the members did not like Carlton, even though he busted his ass for them.
Mm.
And they accepted Will, but they didn't accept Carlton because the way Carlton dressed, the way he talked, the way how proper he was.
The way he danced.
Yeah, you know, and...
That's important in a black frat. You gotta have some moves.
It's not... You don't have to... You don't have to...
It doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt.
I mean, it helps that you
it
have a rhythm.
It does not hurt, okay? Yeah.
I mean, but... I mean,
that can put you over the top at times.
But the main... Besides partying and dancing, I mean, the main reason you join a frat is to get involved in the community, make the community better, make your college better, get involved within the college. You know, just, you know, making new friends and partying is just a big plus because, you know, that's what fraternities do a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But back to that episode, you know, Carlton told him off and said, look, brother, I'm jumping the same hurdles as you.
Yeah.
You know? And you're the real sellout.
Yeah. He just did it with a nice sweater vest on, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, you can't knock the guy for that, I guess. But, yeah, that's That's some shit there. That is some shit. And again, it's just, I don't, why is it a competition? Why is it a competition to be the blackest? Who cares?
There is no such thing. There is no such thing as being the blackest. Okay. Ben Carson is not blacker than Obama. Obama is not blacker than Ben Carson.
Yeah. It's just ridiculous. But okay.
they both went through the same issues, jumped the same hurdles growing up.
Yeah.
Both became successful, and somewhere down the line, Ben Carson forgot where he came from. You would think with that background that he would be a Democrat and help out, you know, and help out people that had to go through what his mother went through.
But yeah, what was it, Detroit and Boston?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's... Talk about some... Those cities are pretty rough. God, yeah. It's a rough one, you know? So that definitely is tough. And maybe he's at that top level for so long, though. You know, he's like that top level surgeon. He's you know, basically a head honcho at the hospital, probably. I mean, everybody knows him. They know him by name. You know, he's killing it. He's doing all kinds of crazy surgeries, thinking he can do no wrong and, you know, is an instrument of God for what we know. I mean, you be the top level for a while and kind of makes you crazy. And you probably forget a lot of those early days, especially when you got better ones to replace them.
That is a stop making fucking excuses for him.
I'm not saying that makes it right, but you're right. There's something there. There's something there that's a little off.
Ben Carson forgot something, and like I said, I don't understand why he doesn't represent Democrats to help people that, for you know, make it easier than what his mother went through, but it's confusing, but you never forget where you came from. That's what made you. That's mm-hmm. And you know, those hard times made Ben Carson into what he is. Hard times make you into a hard worker, because you have to work. You have to work harder than people that have money. You have to work harder than people that have those privileges. You know, he was, you know, I think sometimes he forgets that he's black. No, seriously. I think Ben Carson forgets that he was black and that, you know, the competition that he had to go up against, and, you know, other white neurosurgeons, you know, they had that privilege unlike him. They're taking one step. They're taking one step to get there. He's got to take three. And I think that he forgot that at one point.
Yeah, that's true. He probably fought some historic odds, I'm sure.
Especially in a town like Detroit, which is racially divided, yeah. Big time.
Yeah, that's the rough of the rough there. And yeah, you're right. You almost need those extreme situations, and that everything comes together just right, even in a bad situation. Something good can actually come out of that. You know, you can get that incredible person with that drive and that will, and like you said, the ability to just work harder than everybody. You know, if you're willing to work harder than anybody, you're never gonna fall behind in this country. Yeah. Okay, if you're willing to work harder than the next guy, you'll never fall behind. You might not make $1 million. You might not be in a job that you particularly love with or you're passionate about. But you're never going to get behind is if you want to just work harder than the other person. And it sucks a lot of times, and it's not fun, and it means weekends a lot of times, and you got to make some sacrifices. But if you put in the hard work, you will stay ahead, you know, in this country. And you always have that ability. And that's what you always got to remember when you're in those tough situations. You know, you got to dig deep, and you got to say, all right, this is where it's put up or shut up, and your back's against that wall. But you know what? A lot of times when you got your back against that wall, that's when some of us perform the best. You know, when the time is now, it has to be done now. This, we got to make this happen. You know, you're on a deadline. I mean, it's not the most practical way for the most part, but that's how a lot of us operate sometimes. And if that's what it takes, then that's what it takes. So, you know, you got to keep keeping on. Oh God, that was corny. I was doing so good.
Yeah. Quit crying over there.
Okay. I'm okay.
Quit crying. I'm okay. Quit crying. But, oh, man. I mean, just when he said Obama was raised white, that struck a fucking nerve. Because, you know, I don't get how an African-American like him could be so out of touch with racism.
Yeah. Well, and like you said, there's poor people across the spectrum. Okay?
I know, yeah.
There's poor Mexicans. Yeah. There's poor white people. Go to Louisiana. You'll see plenty of poor white people down there.
There's plenty of poor white people here in Seattle.
The ones whose houses aren't underwater. Yeah, we got plenty around here. I mean, they're everywhere. There's poor black people. There's poor Latino. You know, it's across the board. I mean, I guess that makes us less racist since all people can be poor. Does it?
I'm not racist at
all. Actually, I don't think Asians can be poor. I don't ever think I've seen a homeless Asian. I don't know if they exist.
Well, no comment.
I mean, they got to be somewhere, but I feel like they're taken away by some more productive Asian members of society. You know, they come around in a van. Once you hit the streets as an Asian, they take you to some kind of reform school or
Slim,
some.
Stop. Slim, kind of
I don't know, some God, rehab.
Such a fucking racist.
they're killing it, man. Okay, these guys are killing it, and they're not sharing their secrets with us. Unfortunately, I wish they would be a little bit more talkative about it. That's all I'm saying.
Jeez, man.
They're killing it, dude. They're killing it. We see it here more than anywhere. But
have you ever experienced racism?
Yeah, not racism. I mean, I felt like I felt like I was made out to be a criminal when I was like a teenager. But to be honest, I probably deserve to feel like
a
criminal.
Would you steal a Snickers bar?
No, I never really stole anything, to be honest. I stole one thing one time, and that was it. I had one big heist. You know, it was like Ocean's 12, and I'm out of the game. I'm done with this. All right. One big eyes. I ended up stealing a pair of snowboarding goggles from, I think it was REI or something. Like, I was standing there. There was nobody around me. My brother was like going up to the stand and he was doing his thing. And I was looking at these goggles like, oh, these are nice. And there was nobody around. I kind of looked and couldn't see any cameras. So I kind of just like did a somewhat slow spin move and just tucked those shades. As I was coming around, and then I just casually made my way back to the front, and I was like, "All right, you guys, good. I'm gonna go chill in the car and get as far away from here as possible, while you guys are paying for your shit." But that was the only time that was the one time ever I really stole anything that was actually of value. But that was a thrilling experience I hadn't forgotten for a while. God damn it. But that's the thing. Yeah. When you're a teenager, you are a fuck. Okay. I mean, you look at statistics and most crimes, especially dumb and stupid ones, are committed by teenagers.
Yeah.
And it's not just teenagers either. It's male teenagers. Doesn't matter if they're white. Doesn't matter if they're black. Doesn't matter if they're Latino. Okay, even the Asian teenagers are probably fucking up sometimes. All right, you know they're not that good. They're not killing it the whole way through, but across the board, just male teenagers commit the bulk of crimes that happen. And so, unfortunately, those people kind of need to be profiled a little bit. You know, not based on the color of the skin.
Yeah,
but the shitty little facial bit of hair that they got.
Oh no, those are the ones that are dating girls. You know, five, six years younger than them.
Gosh.
With the fucked up van shoes. Damn, dangle. Oh.
When you went to high school, was it 4 years or 3 years?
Like a 4 year school?
Yeah, was it 4 or 3 years?
It was a four year.
So the freshmen were at the campus with you guys.
Yeah. I get what you're saying, because there's some campuses that freshmen have their own
Well, they're, yeah, they're junior high, yeah.
Yeah, where they have their own campus. No, all the freshmen went to the same campus as the sophomores, juniors, and seniors. Mm.
See, that's where it gets weird, man. That's where it gets weird. What do you got that senior guy who's jocking on the hot-ass freshman new meat here, you know? Jailbait. I mean, that's where you got a problem. That, like, that 4 years... Because even
when I finished my freshman year, I was 15, and you know the seniors are 18. So bam, they barely missed the jailbait part.
Oh, is that how's that work? Yeah. What do you mean? What's the limit?
If they're 14, if there's an 18 year old that wants to date a 14 year old, that I think that's illegal. But a 3 year difference is fine.
18 to 15 is okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I had, one of my buddies had a senior ask him to prom our freshman year.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Your male friend.
Yes.
Oh Jesus Christ. How much of a pimp did he feel like?
Well,
getting asked by a senior. Oh, she must've been hideous.
No, she wasn't.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
But my friend was good looking.
Oh, okay. He was a handsome boy too.
Yeah.
Wow. That's I went junior and senior year, and I got to tell you, that was a good little ego boost for me. You know, man, getting that second year prom. Of it. I'm not gonna lie.
Fuck
I'm not gonna
prom. Lie.
I needed it though. I didn't know what the hell was going on. But
I showed up the prom. I rode up the prom with a white tuxedo and a white horse. Oh. No, I'm kidding. No, I wish. No.
That would be epic. That would be epic. God, that's funny.
No, man, I got fucked junior and senior year in prom. I got fucked. So
good
this
for,
girl,
good for you, man, nice work.
No, not like that.
Oh shit. Okay.
No, I was a junior, and this girl comes up to me. She's a freshman, and she's like, "Hey, Rashad, are you still looking for a date to prom?" And I said, "I wasn't really looking, but." Why? What's up? She's like, I'll go with you. And I was like, really? She's like, yeah. And I was like, okay. And I go home. I tell my mom. I'm so excited. She's like, and I think she like blew me off because I was just so excited. Mm-hmm. And the next day, I see that girl making out with her boyfriend, with her ex-boyfriend.
Oh, went back to the ex.
Yeah, I'm like, this bitch.
You should have played a little harder to get, man. You got to keep her, you got to dangle that carrot a little bit and say, well, you know, I got a couple other girls out there. I'm still in the exploratory period.
No, she wouldn't have believed me because I was not getting any fucking play in high school. Oh, man. I told you the type of high school I went to, man. I might have stood out, but fuck, man, I was not getting any play like the white boys.
Yeah, you were completely off limits.
Yeah, no, I was off. No, the white girls were off limits for me. Mm. Yeah, that's true. And my senior year, oh man, so don't make fun of me. I was 18, and you know, I knew I didn't really have a chance with a lot of the girls that that I went to high school with. Mm-hmm. So this was when MySpace was like blew up. I was a senior for the 2005-2006 school year, and this is when MySpace blew up. And I didn't meet her in person yet, but some girl that lived like 45 minutes south of where I was living added me on Facebook, and we chatted. Not on Facebook, MySpace, and we chatted on MySpace a lot. And I asked her, hey, would you like to go to prom with me? And she's like, yeah. And I think she ended up telling, in like a week before that, she ended up telling me that she started dating someone. But she's like, but I'll still go to prom with you just as friends. And I said, okay, whatever. So the day of prom, I tried getting in touch with her. I said, hey, because I didn't have a car then. And she agreed that she picked me up and we go. And, you know, I kept on asking her, hey, so when are you going to pick me up? When are you going to pick me up? She never responds. And on MySpace, remember if you press the send button, mm-hmm. you can see if they read your message. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I see that she's reading that she read my messages, so I'm thinking, oh fuck, she's probably ignoring me.
She's probably out giving her new boyfriend the old D there.
Yeah.
Oh man, you did get fucked. That sucks.
But no. Listen. So me and my mom we're out and about, and we're getting my hair cut, and then we go to Burlington Coat Factory to get my tuxedo that I'm going to rent, and I see this girl that works there who was a year older than me, who graduated the year before. And my mom was like, hey, we got a problem with my son. And yeah. And at the time I didn't really think a lot of it, but now I'm like, fuck, that was embarrassing. And she looked at me and she's like, yeah, sure. And my mom was like, what time you get off? She's like, I get off at 5. And she's like, yeah, come down to our house. And she gave her the address and everything, and yeah, it was
nice. Look at that, your mama saved the
yes,
day.
My mom bailed me out.
All right, Mama O'Neill, that's a nice one.
Yeah, I went to prom. We took pictures. I haven't talked to her since. I need to I don't know. That was really nice of her because we knew of each other. Like I said, we went to the same high school, but she graduated a year before me, so it's not like it was really awkward when she went to prom. She ran into people that she knew,
mm-hmm.
so it was cool. And after that, we went to IHOP for that was my first of many 1 a.m. 2 a.m. breakfasts prior to college. But no, I mean, and that was the last time I talked to her. I didn't, you know. I didn't try to text her or anything. And that was really nice of her to say, yeah, she didn't have to, she could have came up with some bullshit reason not to go with me.
And to be honest, she was probably scared of your mom. You know, yeah. Didn't want to tell her no. She might've been indifferent about your mom though. She sounds like a pretty, pretty powerful figure.
My mom is.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why I kept her away. But yeah, I don't know, man. You get the 4-year schools and you get that senior who's kind of old, you know, and then you got that freshman who you know, the friend, their birthday was like the next summer, and then they were going to be the same age as everybody already had been, you know, so there that could be a pretty big gap there. That's like a 4 or 5 year.
Is that why they do freshman campuses?
I think it's disbursement of people a little bit better, I think.
Yeah,
because
okay.
They put a lot of money into the junior highs in the area where I'm from. So I think that's kind of a big part of it. But I don't know. I think the ages maybe line up a little bit better, you know, a little bit better. So it's just one of those things. They have them all over the place. But
did you go to a 3-year?
Yeah, it was 3-year. I mean, I think most of them are out here, out on the east. Or on over in the Puget Sound here, from what I've experienced. But
no, mine was 4 years. So
yeah. Well, shit. What else is going on here,
man? I was telling you what happened to Keisha, the artist.
Yeah, you were talking about that.
Oh my god! You talk about something that pisses me off, man. That pissed me off just as much as Ben Carson. So Dr. Luke, Keisha's producer, for roughly a decade has been drugging her and sexually abusing her. And they went to court, not over that, but Keisha just wanted to get out the contract with Sony so she wouldn't have to work with him anymore. And they denied it. The judge denied it. What the fuck? Look, she's not trying to send him to jail. She just wants out of the contract. Now let's talk about the double standard here. Chris Brown can beat up Rihanna and still make music. The guy from One Direction, starts with a Z, Zarin, something like that, got out of his contract with the group. But Keisha, who was sexually abused by this producer, can't get out of her contract. Why is that? Why why does she still have to continue to see and possibly have to work with him? Well, fuck that. She's probably not going to work with him anymore. She hasn't made music in a while. And fuck, now I know the reason why. You're kind of speechless over there.
I'm just taking it in.
Oh, yeah. You know, because, fuck, man, back in 09, summer 09, she had the fucking party anthem. TikTok, remember that?
TikTok.
Oh, man, Jesus. Every party, every party that I went to during that summer, I'm not afraid to admit it. I'm proud. I used to get down to that song. Wake up in the morning feeling like P. Diddy.
I could see you grooving to that shit.
Fuck yeah. And I should have fucking karaoke that.
That would have been good. No, you're talking double standard, and you know, you brought up Chris Brown and Kesha, and it comes back to what I originally said. Chris Brown has got some amazing dance moves, all right? It would be a crime to put that man in
fuck
jail.
Fuck you!
And keep that talent bottled up, all right? Kesha, she's put out some good party cuts, but I don't think anybody truly respects her that much as an artist. But
okay, but still, you're still going to have her. You can't get out of a fucking contract, with the person that's sexually abusing you?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
And it's probably not helping you put out those big heavy hitter cuts either, you know? And when you're worried about your boss groping you later on tonight and slipping a little something in your drink, all the effervescence. God damn, that's quite the story though, man. I know, and it's just, you think a judge could just have the ability to just be like, okay, this is ridiculous. All right, I see the situation, and this is, the evidence is here. This is sealed shut. But no, I'm sure some lawyer crafted up that contract, and he knew it was squeaky tight. All right, the thing was fucking airtight, and he knew it before she signed it, and she probably didn't have anybody look at it, and you know, didn't have any representation at the time. She was probably, oh my god, I got a deal, oh my god, I got a deal, oh geez, why are you unzipping your pants, oh what, oh is this part of the deal?
Jeez. Oh, Slim god. Slim.
I mean, it's terrible, you know, it's terrible, but I guarantee they had an ironclad contract, and you know, they just can't do anything about it. It's just that it's that bulletproof. They got the best guys in the game for that. You know, they can employ a gaggle of those guys. They got 12, 15 of them are on call, you know, in case one of these guys is busy with somebody else's crime that they committed that they need to get out of, you know, and then call somebody else. So it's a shame, but I mean, that's record company 101 last like 20 years, you know, maybe not the sexual assault part of it, at least for the artists. I'm sure there were some people in the background that were certainly having their personal boundaries questioned, but that's just all kinds of dirty shit like that, dude. It's just been known for it. You know, people getting robbed. You got guys like Suge Knight in the business, muscled his way in.
Fuck Suge Knight.
You know?
Fuck Suge Knight.
You're writing a goddamn contract on a cocktail napkin? This is a legally binding document that you're writing on this cocktail napkin while the two of us have had 8 shots of Hennessy at this point apiece, and we're making contracts. What the hell are you talking about here? I get a house. Oh, that's great. How much did that house cost? $300,000. Oh, that's cool, because my album sold like 6 million copies. All right, and those were for $15 a pop. I mean, just all kinds of shady ass shit, dude. People getting ripped off. And you know, I mean, Macklemore's got the song about it. It's one of the good things that's come out of all this technology we got. You know, it makes it easier for people to do their own production, do things on their own. They don't have to be backed by a big company. You can get hits on YouTube, social media, whatever. I mean, you can do it without those old and tired methods that they used to use. And it just shows you, because these are the guys that are running these joints. You know, just pieces of shit like this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing how you just mentioned how, you know, you don't need to go through the old school method to get your shit out. Fucking YouTube. YouTube killed MTV.
Mm-hmm.
YouTube killed them. A lot of people bitch about how MTV's not the same anymore, and it's all reality shows. Well, you know what? You want your old MTV back? Get rid of YouTube. And YouTube ain't going nowhere. YouTube ain't going nowhere.
Well, and for me personally, like that's, I watch probably more music videos on it than I do actual videos. You know, I'm listening to music all the time. And yeah, you're right. It's the best for that. You see these bigger videos now, and there's a handful of them. I like to just kind of click around and see which ones are landing which. You know, you check the numbers. It's kind of interesting. There's a handful of videos now that have over a billion views.
Can you name which one? At least one?
I want you to guess at one that I...
Wrecking Ball by Miley Cyrus.
I'd say probably not. I don't think I looked that one up, but I'd say probably not.
I Want It That Way by the Backstreet Boys.
I haven't checked that one out either. You see, you're going to
Blur Lines by T.I.
I think that's close. Robin Thicke. I don't think it's over a billion, but I think that one's close.
Ooh, that was a party anthem too.
Yeah, that was.
And I love the music video.
That one had the summer. I think it was of
summer 2013.
Yeah, 13. Yeah, that was definitely the one. That one's probably over, but there's a couple from Katy Perry's got two. Uptown Funk has hit a billion. I didn't even check Gangnam Style. That one had a billion. Like
which Katy Perry song?
Dark Horse and Roar. I think both those had over a billion, like 1.2 or 1.1, which is fucking insane, man. That's so many eyes on there. That's so many eyes. And think of all those eyes that you're throwing an ad at. I mean, that's got to be some serious money once you get up to there. Like that's why these companies, Vivo. I mean, they're taking this shit seriously. You know, they said like you that YouTube. They know it. They know that shit killed MTV. You know, now you're partying down south, and you got Jersey Shore and all this bullshit that's just made up, and it's all it is conflict based, and it's just shock and awe. That's all it's supposed to be, and it's nothing because. Yeah, nobody's going to sit and watch a few commercials and then watch some random music videos, you know? They want to watch the music video, the exact one they want to watch, and they want to do it right now.
Yeah.
You know? And, I mean, you can't deny people that these days. It's just, that's too powerful of a thing, you know? It's too right there, and it's convenient, so... Yeah, it's crazy to think how things have changed like that. You know, people are still consuming. In fact, they're consuming more than they ever did before. It's just there's so many different avenues to put that consumption towards. That's why all these things are getting so much traction. It's insane. I mean, look at that's the reason a couple of schmucks like us get to talk into a microphone and actually have a few people listen to us.
Yeah, because if it wasn't for a podcast, we wouldn't be doing shit. I'd still be on the streets trying to find a radio station job. But no, I bought a soundboard, bought a couple of mics, recruited this guy right across me, and bam. We're giving it to you every week.
Yeah, and you know we're trying to give you some good content here, guys. We actually I think we had a couple new listeners this week. So those of you first timers, we appreciate you guys. We've been kind of the news cycle. You know, we try not to get stuck on the politics and stuff. I mean, they make it easy this year, but you know, it's just there's so much change going on, man. That's the crazy thing. It's so much change, and it's all going so fast, you know? Like, it's almost hard to keep up with all this shit. You know? You had Donald Trump, who's just controlling the media, and... Yeah, it's... I tell you, it's an interesting time to be alive. But then again, haven't they always said that? Haven't they always said it's an interesting time to be alive? I mean, was anybody like, eh... Things kind of dull right now, you know. 100 years from now, it'll be good, but right now it's a little lame. You think so?
I think it is an interesting time to be alive, minus the fact that Donald Trump could be our next president. But yeah, I mean, I agree.
Donald Trump is. I mean, it's the same thing as MMA, man. Look at MMA, dude. That they're crushing it right now. They're crushing it right now, and not just people's bones, you know. They're crushing it right now. And it's, again, it's this pushback from everybody so kind and everything. And people being so nice and, you know, all this stuff. It's just, it goes a little bit too far. And then we kind of eventually get it to swing back here, you know. And I think we're kind of almost on that backswing at this point. But that's the thing, man. People, I feel, in general, are definitely nicer these days. You know, like, I remember 5-10 years ago, you would see you know, you pull out of a parking lot and somebody lets you in, they'd stop, they'd let you out, you give them a wave, okay? That's what most people do. And, you know, now it's gone to the point where not everybody waves all the time. There's nothing that works 100% of the time. There's still some jerk-offs out there, but sometimes people will even wave back at my wave. You know, they'll do like a double take on the wave. And I was like, holy shit. Okay. You know, I mean, this is kind of us, but at some point we're going to have to start driving here. All right. And quit exchanging gestures. So, but you know, that's the thing. It's just in general, people are being nicer and you got to appreciate that. And you just got to figure out how to deal with the old DT, you know, and kind of work through that situation. But I don't know. I think the president, I think the job itself is just losing its luster. People are, I think, are kind of realizing that it's a silly job. Like, you have one guy that looks over 330 million of us. You have one guy.
Billion.
You have one guy.
Oh, wait.
No, just million. In this country.
Million, sorry.
He doesn't run Canada and Mexico too. All right. I mean, he kind of does, but
no,
not, you know, not up front and forward. He doesn't, but yeah. One guy for 330 million people. He's checking on all of us, apparently. I mean, I've almost seen him. I've almost seen him when he's shutting down the freeway around here, cruising around from Boeing plant to Boeing plant. But it's just, and I don't know. I mean, we'll see. If he gets it, then people are just going to, I think they're going to just completely say that's a joke now. And they're not even going to pay attention to it anymore. I don't know.
They better pay attention because he's going to set this country 50 years back.
Oh, man. You know, maybe we're due for one. Maybe we've been going forward for so long. I mean, we had the Bush years, though.
No,
we had the Bush years.
We have not gone forward. And Obama, oh, my gosh, I swear, people don't realize Obama could have got a lot more shit done in office if it wasn't for Congress.
Mm-hmm. That is certainly true. They've taken obstructionism to a new level, but if...
And the Republicans just blocked Obama nominating a new member of the Supreme Court.
Yeah, that's one of those things, dude, where in a 20-year period, you'll hear every single one of them make an argument for both sides of the case there, for why they should do it before the election and why they shouldn't do it before the election. So
this is
going to
come back and bite the conservatives in the ass.
It's just gesturing, though, man. It's just gesturing because they got video of Biden saying the same things back in 92 when there actually wasn't a situation going on. He was just posing a hypothetical. So it's just gesturing, man. They always do it. I mean, who knows? We'll see where it actually lands. But again, it just shows, I mean, what... the almost unnecessariness of the Supreme Court. I mean, it's going to be tied up. It's completely useless at this point. It's 4-4. These guys always seem to vote along party lines. Maybe one of them switches every once in a while, but not even every single time. Not even every single time does somebody vote not on their team. Team liberal or team conservative. It's unfortunate how big of it is, and that's why all these guys are paying so much attention to it. They're giving their sales pitch. They're telling you why their team is the one that should have the fair shot here. And it's gesturing. And they've forgotten that those first times they said them, people actually have access to that information finally, now that 15 years have passed and technology's done what it's doing. So it's kind of funny to see it come full circle for them, you know, kind of keep them honest.
Yeah.
Another beautiful thing of YouTube.
I agree. Well, shit, man, it's getting pretty late.
God damn, you're right. We did end up going a little longer than I thought. Holy
yeah,
shit.
It's getting pretty late.
Fucking A. Well, we're gonna tie a bow on this baby here, you guys. But again, to any new listeners, you guys coming in, we thank you guys for listening.
Yes.
We hope you guys enjoyed it. If you guys got any suggestions for the show, we'd love to hear it. You can hit us up on Facebook and Twitter. Let us know what you think. It's always good to know you guys care.
Yes, please follow us on Twitter.
Follow
us on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook. And if you want to shoot us an email, talk to us, earfulinecity@gmail.com.
Yeah, there you go. If you guys have any questions, something you want us to talk about, we'll check it out. And we'll try to throw it into the show. But hey, thank you guys for listening. This has been an earful in the Emerald City. Hope you guys enjoyed yourself. I'm Slim, sitting right across from my boy Shoddy. And we're going to kick it, guys. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you soon.
We are out.
Thanks for joining Shoddy and Slim on an earful in the Emerald City. Hope you survived this torture. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Join us next time and tell your friends about the show.